This is the story. Stories of people, of nations, of the world, of yesterday and today, and the meaning they hold for tomorrow.
Let me introduce myself. Walt Whitman's the name, a reporter by trade, a loafer by inclination, and a poet by accident. In my day, during the middle 1800s, America was growing so fast it bust out of its britches every 6 months. And the only reason men wore their hair so long was because nobody had time for a shave and a haircut. It was like being on an express train where people would say, "This is a nice town we're coming to," wasn't it? But there's only one trouble with people in a hurry. They usually forget something. And this time, people forgot America.
Hear it, Walt? Hear it? I told you it'd work. Now we can get our news direct to the editorial office.
What good is a telegraph key, Jeff, if you can't decipher the babbling instrument?
Oh, that's easy. G.
G, behold, the instrument is spoken.
G O L D.
Gold, that's a fine start, Jeff.
V E R E. Discovered. Gold discovered.
Who says the days of miracles are past?
Wait, gold discovered in C A L.
In California. Mexicans out, Americans in, and pronto, gold's discovered. Hey, Jeff, where do you think you're going?
Out to tell the boys.
The boys will have to wait. If they want news, they'll have to read it in our paper.
Hello, Walt. Interrupting?
Not at all, Coates. And just toss those books on the floor and sit down.
Don't matter, I'll stand. Walt, I want to talk to you. Well, say something.
Thought you said you wanted to do that, Colton.
Walt, when I bought part ownership of this paper, I thought you were the best editor in Brooklyn. And I still do, believe it or not.
Are you telling me or challenging me, Colton?
All I'm trying to tell you, Walt, is what's the idea behind an editorial like this one here in today's paper?
On the gold rush?
Yes. The rush for California gold is as ignoble a scramble for pennies as it is indicative of a weakness and a greed in our national character. You wrote that, didn't you?
Did I?
Who else around this office has a vocabulary of more than 6 words?
Webster.
I'm not asking for sarcasm. I'm asking for an explanation. Here's another item. Yesterday, our country was excited over a tremendous moral issue, slavery. And with so much attention and thought, it seemed the issue might at last be solved. Today, all this is forgotten. Honest citizens have dropped their honest jobs and rushed pell-mell to seek for pots of gold at the end of rainbows.
Didn't know you could read so well, Colson.
You know this paper's policy, Walt.
Sure. And I know my own policy, too.
What's that, may I ask?
Don't write what you don't believe.
You can at least be more polite.
I can't be polite to slavery.
Walt, I'm completely dissatisfied.
Well, so am I. It so happens this country's sitting on a powder keg labeled Slate Question. That's more important than you or me or your piddling newspaper.
Whitman, I've tried to be open-minded
just
about...
Just a minute. Jeff, bring over that envelope I left on Mr. Colson's desk.
Sure, Walt.
I'm not interested in envelopes, Whitman.
Here you are, Mr. Colson.
I pay you to edit the paper and you spend your time writing me letters.
I'll save you the trouble of reading it, Colson. It can all be boiled down to half a dozen immortal American words. You can't fire me. I quit. That was a fine supper, Ma.
Well, the man with your appetite, say that to anything, Walt.
Made your mind up about helping me build that house, Walt?
He's had enough time lying on the beach and just gazing at the ocean.
Hush up, George.
What do you say, Walt?
Sure, I'll help you, Pa, but only part-time.
Huh? Part-time? Why, got another job?
Yep.
Well, you're the silent one. Why don't you tell us? What's the job?
Writing some poems.
For who?
You. Me. Everybody. America.
George, I wish you'd think a bit before you open that big mouth.
Poetry for you, me, and America. Pass me those toothpicks, Ma.
How come, Walt?
Well, Pa, there's two reasons. First of all, America doesn't have much poetry of her own, just fancy imported European stuff full of fuss and highfalutin talk.
And what's the second reason?
Well, that's harder to explain, Pa. You see, America's sort of like a big kid, all brawn and brag. Well, that's important because we're growing. But I think somebody has to holler out every so often. Just remember, America, you can't eat gold and timber and railroads. You can't preserve a free government with just brag. Take it easy. Remember, you've gotten yourself hitched up to a star called Liberty, but if you don't watch out, you're going to trip over the Milky Way. Maybe you have the guts, but don't forget, it takes a heart and spirit to make a complete man.
You want to say all that, Walt?
Pretty much all of it, Ma.
You don't need a poem, Walt. You need a rooftop.
My mother was only half right. I needed more than a poem or a rooftop. I needed readers. I set up the print and published the first book of my poems, Leaves of Grass, myself. And people bought copies the way they might buy 50-cent pieces on sale for a dollar. Poetry is like a musical concert. You need a good audience to complete the job. But one day, while I was at home...
Pardon me, does... Why, you're Walt Whitman, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I recognize the beard. Let me introduce myself.
Oh, wait. Your face. Why, you're...
That's right.
Emerson, Ralph Waldo Emerson.
First time I've ever heard my name used as a battle cry.
Why, your name's been like a flag to me. I march behind it.
I see your hat's on. Where are you going, marching?
No, just an ordinary walk this time.
May I join you?
Sure.
I have a lecture in New York tonight, but I thought I'd stop and see you first.
Yeah?
I got that copy of Leaves of Grass you sent me.
Sent you the first copy off the press. What did you think of it?
Hello there, Walt.
Oh, hello, Jack. How's Helen?
Oh, Doc says another week in bed, and she'll be fit as a fiddle and skipping rope.
Good. I'll be up to see her later. Bye.
Bye now.
You know, Whitman, you look like your poetry reads.
How's that?
You're big, powerful. You're a walking barn door.
With the accompanying odor?
Oh. Hello, Walt!
Hello, Horace!
Why don't you come over Manhattan more often? Walt, we got whiskey there that burns all the way down. I'll take you up on that horse.
Horse? That's Little Horse. We call his older brother Big Horse.
You know, a man's nickname is more important than his given name. It labels his character, describes him to the world.
You know these people, these everyday people, very well, don't you?
Well, they're the only kind I do know.
That's why you write about them so well. I will sing the song of companionship. And who but I should be the poet of comrades?
Hey, Mr. Emerson, if you're going to quote my poetry, you'll need a drink. What do you say to a beer in here?
I'll say yes. Just one, though.
Hey, I forgot to ask. How'd you like my book?
Mr. Whitman, your book is the most extraordinary piece of wit and wisdom America has yet contributed. It not only encourages, it fortifies.
You mean that?
Sincerely.
One beer? Why, that calls for a whole round of beer. If Ralph Waldo Emerson, one of America's most eminent literary men, liked my book, I knew that a door I thought closed was really open, and I could walk forth into the sun. And so between jobs of writing newspaper articles, I kept writing poems about people, about Manhattan, and most of all, about America. But then, in 1860...
Fort Sumter, fired on by Southern troops. Hey, Pa, we're going to go to war!
You've enlisted, George? A man with a Quaker upbringing?
Sure, I've enlisted. You're 42, you wouldn't understand. And I always thought you hated slavery.
I do. But do you think we'll solve everything by killing our own people in the South?
What other way is there?
Fellow citizens, I stand before you tonight not as President of the United States, but as a man humbled before the great sorrow of carrying through a necessary, though terrible task. The battle has begun, and our nation is embarked upon days
Telegraph message for Mrs. Louisa Whitman.
I'll take it, son.
Any answer?
His son, George, moved to
this. Is there any answer?
What?
You want to send an answer? I'll write it down.
Yeah, sure. Arriving Washington Hospital Friday. Courage. All our love, Walt. I thought that as soon as I reached the capital, I would go directly to the hospital. But when I got there, I found that every other building was a hospital. I learned that my brother's regiment was only about 12 miles away at the Virginia front. And I got a pass to visit him there because the line was temporarily quiet. And then a new nightmare began.
Pardon me, soldier.
Huh?
Which way to the 51st New York Volunteers?
Down around the next band.
Thanks. Thanks very much.
What's the matter, soldier? Hit?
Yes. My leg.
Here, I'll help you through it.
No, no. Plenty worse than me. He's over there. Shot to the stomach.
I'll see. Here he is. Soldier. Soldier. Oh. Can't help him anymore. Poor fellow.
Dead?
Afraid so.
He was my brother. My youngest brother.
There had been a skirmish that afternoon. And all that terrible night, I kept stumbling across more wounded men. It wasn't until dawn.
Walt! Hey, Walt!
George!
I thought I recognized that beard. Where the devil did you come from?
Your face, the bandage.
Ah, that's nothing. Hey, how's Ma?
And I kept seeing her dying.
Ah, they haven't got my number yet. Gosh, it's good to see you. Come on over to my tent. You're still writing poetry?
No. More important things to do now.
Good morning, Winters.
Oh, good morning, Mr. Whitman.
Gonna play your melodeon for us again this morning?
Yep, the boys have asked me to.
Who's the lowest this morning?
New boy. Dead nine. Both legs amputated. Gangrene set in.
Dead nine, I'll see him. Morning, Walt. Hello, Jim. Orange is getting scarce. I brought you only one today. Here, catch.
Got it, Dave.
Hello, Walt.
Hello yourself.
Hey, can I see you later about that letter?
I'll be there with bells on.
Hey, good morning, Walt.
Good morning, Jonathan. Here's your hometown newspaper, I promise.
Oh, gee, thanks, Walt.
And how are you today, you bandy-legged horse thief?
Don't you growl at me, you con-starn grizzly bar. Hey, hiya, Walt.
Hey, look. My wife finally had the baby. Honest, fellas, look.
A baby?
Here in the paper I just got. You want to see it?
Who says I'm a grizzly bear? I'm a blame 200-pound store.
Dead nine. What's your name, son?
Roger Sloan, sir.
Mind if I sit down here?
Oh, I'd be pleased to have you, sir.
And drop that, sir. Everybody and his brother calls me Walt.
All right. They call me Slim. It's because I was always so darn thin. Thanks for stopping here.
Why? Didn't you expect me to?
I'm a Confederate soldier. Your own side comes first.
Both sides are my side, Slim. Drink of water?
No, thanks. I'm chilly now. It's crazy. First I get hot, and I'm chilly. That's the fever, I guess. That melodeon plays pretty nice, doesn't it?
Yeah. How old are you, Slim?
21.
And when's your 17th birthday?
August 3rd. Don't gonna fall into that trap every time.
You know why I'm asking all these questions?
Sure. I heard the other men say you wrote letters to the folks so they wouldn't be listed as just missing.
Oh?
What shall I write to your folks?
Oh, that I'm being treated well and think of them all, especially Sarah Ann. Better not mention my legs.
Oh, I won't. Oh, don't.
I'm not.
Man isn't any less a man because he can't walk, you know?
Can I have a glass of cold water now? I feel feverish all of a sudden.
Sure. Here. I'll hold it for you.
Wait. Wait. Bringing that fold and white screen down the aisle. When they put that around a man's bed, that means the end, doesn't it?
Not always. Not always, Slim.
They're bringing the screen this way, Walt. Walt, they're bringing it this way.
Pardon us, please. We just want to stand this around the bed.
Steady, Slim.
When you ride him, tell him.
Here. Let me wipe your head.
Melodeon. My sister used to play one back home.
Oh, you'll see them again, Slim. You can't lose a battle until you surrender.
Under my pillow, you'll find a little Bible with gilt edges.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's it.
To carry my boy through till he comes home again, Mother. She has nice handwriting.
She wrote that just before I left. What? Oh, I don't want to die.
You won't. You won't. You'll be all right. Remember this part. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He guided me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I opened my notebook again, and on the last page I wrote, "My songs cease. I abandon them. From behind the screen where I hid, I advance personally to you. Camarado, this is no book. Who touches this? Touches a man." After Slim came thousands more like him. Every year, the boys in new uniforms were getting younger. Bull Run. Chancellorsville. Gettysburg.
That this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom. And that government of the people, by the people, for the people.
Why, hello, Walt.
Hello, Mrs. O'Connor.
Well, well, we haven't seen you in such a long time, Walt.
I've been pretty sick. Infected hand.
Oh, yes, I heard about that. As I was saying to me...
Mrs. O'Connor, will you forgive me if I rush off?
But what's the hurry, Walt?
I've got to keep my daily appointment with the president.
Hey, here comes Abe now!
Look, he's tired. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, sir. Joan, who is that big fellow with a beard who says hello every morning?
A fellow named Walt Whitman, sir.
He radiates vitality the way a stove radiates warmth.
He's helped lots of wounded men think about living again instead of dying.
I can see how, too. Well, you know, John, his hello every morning sort of makes me feel I'm shaking hands with the American people.
Each day,
I walked past the White House when Abe... I called him Abe in my mind like everyone else. When Abe went for his daily ride, I watched the carved lines of his face grow deeper month by month, as though the war were an acid that ate away even his iron courage. And then suddenly, Grant and Lee were meeting at Appomattox.
Before we knew it, the war was over. The great brass tongues of church bells sang out the joy that swept the nation. The bayonets could gather dust. The cannonballs turned to rust. The war was over!
Oh, Captain. My Captain. Our fearful trip is done. The ship has weathered every wreck. The prize we sought is won. The port is near. The bells I hear. The people all exulting. While follow eyes the steady keel. The vessel grim and daring. But oh, heart. 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 Oh, the bleeding drops of red. Where on the deck my captain lies, fallen, cold, and dead.
Oh, Papa Fab!
Walt! Gott in Himmel, it's Walt!
Sure, it's Walt. Stop polishing those glasses and shake hands.
Wait, praise God, it's good to see you again. Here, sit down, sit down, sit down here. Oh, you're looking fine, Walt.
I see your business looks fine, too, Papa Pop. Full house tonight.
Business, huh? Say, let's talk about you, Walt.
Any of the old gang around? I'd like to see him.
Sure, over there. Henry, Ada, Charlie, look who's here. Stand up, Walt, stand up. See, Walt Whitman is back in Manhattan.
Hello, folks! Hey, wait a minute. Hit me with one at a time.
This calls for beer, Papa Flop.
Beer,
you insult me. Champagne it is. This calls for bubbles, not for foam. I get it myself.
Same old Papa Flop, all right.
So the prodigal son is back in his native town.
Back to Manhattan, sadder and wiser, as the old folks say.
How long, Walt?
Don't know myself, Charlie.
All right, gang, let's ask him all together. Ready? Still writing poetry?
Yeah, still writing. But a different kind this time.
The war changed your tune, eh?
More than that, Harry. I learned what it felt like to lose all your faith, all your hope, and worst of all your courage.
Yes, 4 years of war did that to all of us, Walt. All over the country.
I know. We were swaggering toward the 20th century with plenty of elbow room and jeans full of silver dollars. We had no tolerance and no compassion. I guess the war taught us both. We can still taste the blood and tears.
And that's what you're going to write?
No, that's past. Coming over on the ferry boat from Brooklyn, I saw the towers of Manhattan outlined against the sky. Fingers pointing toward God. We're older now and wiser, I hope. And we've got to learn a new faith in ourselves. A new belief that what we're doing is important. Not only to us right here and now, but to the whole world for generations to come.
Well, here we are. Here we better set out the glasses.
Well, he meant it, by gosh. Real champagne. Yeah.
Wait now. Now we drink to Walt. Walt, hoch soll sie leben.
Hoch soll sie leben.
May you live high with love and happiness.
Now, wait a minute, folks. Thanks, but I'd like to change that. Let's drink to America. And her future. One song, America, before I go. I'd sing o'er all the rest with trumpet sound. For thee, the future. Oh, I see flashing that this America is only you and me. Its Congress is you and me. The officers, capitals, armies, ships are you and me. Past, present, and future are you and me.
What whispers are these, O lands, running ahead of you, passing under the seas?
Are all the nations communing?
Is there going to be but one heart to the globe? Turn your undying face to where the future, greater than all the past, is swiftly, surely preparing for you. Thunder on! Stride on! Democracy!
You have been listening to This is the Story, one of a series of radio dramas selected and rebroadcast for the men and women of the American Armed Forces in every overseas theater of operation. Stories of the free people, of the free nations of the world. This is the Armed Forces Radio Service.